I mean, look, very quickly, Teresa's got her got a little bit of extra time. Anyone want a quick crack at it? Her her retirement plans are on hold for at least a few months, until Halloween, in fact.
She'd have to be the most masochistic person on the planet to want to delay the inevitable for herself. I mean, I don't know if anyone else has got a take on it.
I saw this in House of Cards. She'll be back.
Look, that's all we've got time for, because we're going to have to go to the next show. So thanks for coming and listening to us on the Gristle for This Week in Politics. Thanks a lot, guys.
Hello and welcome. I knew that was going to happen.
That's a great way to start.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a five-minute game show with a 25 minutes worth of unnecessary introduction. Joel Kasem is my pronoun, and this week I'm joined by a couple of very sporty people to pick apart this week's sporting news this week. First up is a woman we managed to sneak out of the Ecuadorian embassy, Estherina Taite.
No soy yo.
That was very good. What did you say?
I said, it's not me.
Oh. Uh-huh. What language?
Spanish. I speak Spanish.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, like fluently.
Sí,
señor.
Oh, yeah.
Tú eres mi, que es Claire, sí. Bueno.
Jeez, look at the smarty on the
end. No, what is going on? Too good for this show. Also joining us is a man who, back in his dating days, had more pull than a black hole. It's Nick Rad.
No light could escape me. That didn't make any sense. But, you know, I'm a black hole or something.
Excellent. And joining us for the very first time, it's our special guest from Cricket New South Wales. It's Claire Crutzen.
Thank you for having me.
Not because we don't want you back. It's just, yeah. Sorry.
It's gone so well up until this point.
It's been amazing.
Hey, welcome to the show, Claire.
Thanks for having me.
And I apologise for the next 30 minutes.
No, I'm looking forward to
it. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so as you said, I'm from Cricket New South Wales. I'm currently the match operations team leader there, which basically means I run cricket matches. So any elite cricket that happens within New South Wales, it's my job to make sure goes ahead, basically.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you're talking elite. What sort of games? Like,
so everything from the Big Bash to Shield cricket to international cricket at the SCG, right down to the Futures League, which is basically the second 11 for the men. So
wow.
From that level all the way up.
Mick just got real excited.
No, I'm
he's
really...
like, his mouth just went...
Mick's very excited.
He's got these grabs. You're just going to use them? Just ignore him?
No, I'm not.
What's involved? Like, obviously a lot's involved, but like from getting... deciding a game's going to happen to it actually starting, I just imagine there's so many logistics, so many things that have to be organised to actually make it happen. Do you like look after all that?
Yeah, from a cricket perspective, I do. There's when you're talking about a Big Bash, there's two sides of it. There's the event side of it, and then there's the cricket side of it. We've got an event specialist that looks after everything that's off the field, so all the fireworks that go off, the big screen content and all that sort of stuff. And then you've got me and my team who look after all the cricket specific. So anything inside the boundary rope, including the scorers, umpires, the zing stumps at a Big Bash level, we look after them.
Oh, the full flashy ones.
Yeah, the flashy ones.
So are there batteries in there or what?
No, you have to – well, yeah, there are batteries. You have to charge them. They're not like your
they're
little
plugged
AAA.
In.
Like USB or what?
That are in there. Going down a bad
so you plug them into the wall. They've got a charge. When we have double headers, there's always a bit of a worry that they may die.
Yeah, right. See, this is the stuff that interests me. I like your sort of weird stuff.
Yeah.
We've actually got a zing stump operator who's got the best seat in the house. They sit on on the sideline, and it's their job to just check that the little red light on the side of them is flashing. If it's not, then they're not set.
What is the requirement for such a job?
And how can you look through a pair of binoculars and you understand what breaking
the wickets. Joel, that's more a job for you.
Why? Look at you doing this. Hey, I'm past those days now. Thank you very much.
And do the bales have to be the same like weight as like proper bales?
Yeah, they're pretty much exactly the same, other than the fact that they're got a flashing light in them.
Yeah.
Basically.
Great, I want that job.
I'll keep you in mind next season. We're getting more and more games, which means we need more and more people. So
There you go.
And you do you said WBBL and so Sheffield Shield. Is it back to being called Sheffield Shield?
Yes, back to it's been called Sheffield Shield for a while now.
Okay. but it wasn't for a while, right?
It wasn't. They called it the Pura Cup or something like that.
Even I knew it was the Sheffield Cup.
Okay.
You said Sheffield Cup.
Whatever it was, whatever. Sheffield.
Sorry. Yeah, great.
Yeah, very cool. Whose phone?
Oh.
I don't know. Is it you, Mick?
Maybe.
What does it say?
It wasn't me.
Nothing. It's just my wife saying, leaving a...
We don't need to know that.
So do you have much downtime in like after the summer season's finished?
After the season, yes. During the season, absolutely not.
Sure.
The biggest period is the Christmas New Year period with the Big Bash and international cricket and all that sort of stuff happening. So when everybody else goes on holiday, we're working hard. The Thunder actually had a game on Christmas Eve this year, which was actually the same night that the Opal Tower threatened to collapse at Sydney Olympic Park. It was pretty hectic. We all didn't get out there till 1 o'clock, so we had a bit of a celebratory Christmas drink before we left. But now in this period, now we're not cruising, but we're actually planning for next season. And then once we've planned and locked all the games in for next season, then we'll have a little bit of time.
That's when you go on holidays. Everyone goes on holidays. Yeah,
the office empties out. All the players are gone from now, actually. And then in about 2 weeks' time, there won't be anybody there.
Yeah, I guess you're a fan of cricket as well. Yes. So when the Ashes are on, you'll be watching that.
I will, I'll be I won't be over there during the Ashes. I'll be over there during the World Cup. So
great.
I'll see if I can get to a game at some point.
You've played a bit of cricket yourself.
I have, yeah. I've played a lot of cricket.
Yeah. Yes. You played overseas?
Yeah, so I played county cricket for a couple of years for Kent, which was good fun. We actually won the county championship.
Kent's great.
Which means you get to go and meet the Duke of Edinburgh when you county championship. But I unfortunately had left the country by the time that happened. But my twin sister was still there. So I requested that I could have a guest go on my behalf. Oh. So she went as my guest. Well, as I thought she was going to go as my guest, she decided to go as me.
The benefits of having a twin. I love it.
Doesn't know a lot about cricket, which is slightly concerning. And I think she got away with it for most of the time. And then I think one of the last questions she got was, so where's Kent's home ground? And her answer was, oh, I'm the overseas. People pick me up and drop me off. I don't know where it is.
That's good improv. That's good.
So she did well. So that was the highlight of my cricketing career, and my sister got to enjoy it.
Identical twin?
Yes.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yes. I can vouch for that.
Yes.
I've seen the both of you.
Yes, we are identical.
Identical.
Yes. So, I was in the UK for a little while. Then I moved to Holland. And coached over there, coached the national women's side in Holland, and then I moved to Hong Kong. So,
what are the Dutch like at cricket?
I'd like to think better after I got there.
I didn't even know they played, to be honest.
Yeah,
it used to be very big. It's actually it's shrunk a little bit now. Their big sport is hockey.
You're
trying to grab the hockey players as much as possible.
How did cricket even get to Holland?
Well, it's pretty close to the UK, so
yeah, of course,
I assume it just jumped over.
One of the West Indies came over and hit a really big shot. It went over the water and landed there. And they're like, what's this red ball?
What is this thing?
Yeah, so that was quite... They're a very forward nation, so coaching those girls was a very interesting experience.
Were you saying they were high?
No, they're sporting. Yep. The athletes are unreal. In English or in Dutch?
They all speak English.
Of course, the English.
They all speak English. I tried to learn Dutch, and they just got fed up of it. Speaking English.
Yeah.
But I managed to understand a fair bit of it because a lot of the words sound very similar, and I could just work it out.
Yeah,
and all the cricket terms are English, so
yeah, that's true.
If they were talking about me, I kind of figured it out and answered and freaked them out a little bit. But it was fine.
How did you find coaching to playing? What did you prefer coaching?
I kind of fell into coaching when I went to the UK to play county cricket as part of the deal. You have to coach. You've got to kind of assist as much as possible because they've got you over there. And it turned out that I was okay at it and got offered a job at Eton College where the princes went to school. So I coached them. That was a very interesting experience. They're very polite because they're brought up very, very well.
Yeah.
But I don't think they thought I knew what I was doing. So in one of the first sessions, I grabbed the ball and bowled it at one of the kids and clean bowled him.
Yes.
Then I had a line of 20 kids asking me questions.
Was there any sort of hazing ritual when you got to Eden,
Not for me. Not for me. I don't know what the boys were doing, but they left me alone.
Yeah.
From there, and then I just got offered jobs that I basically couldn't refuse. So going to Holland and then Hong Kong.
That's huge.
I would have liked to have played for a little bit longer, but I thoroughly enjoyed what I did, and I really enjoyed the coaching while I was doing it. And I've stopped the coaching now because I needed a bit of a break. It was a very big couple of years there. But, I did really enjoy it.
How's that post-sport? Well, it's not really post-sport, eh? Because you're still working cricket. But how is it going? It's a big deal when you decide to walk away from it.
It is a big deal. And it's especially with the WBBL happening now. Yeah. That there was a draw there to think, oh, do I keep playing? Do I go back to Australia and give it a crack, or have I missed the boat and all that sort of stuff? I decided to stay overseas and keep doing what I was doing. But coming back, I did play a season or two when I got back. Enjoyed it, but towards the back end of the season, I realised that I was probably
done
with it, and I've stopped playing. So this is the end of a 12-month period where I haven't played any organised sport for the first time, basically, in my life, which has been very, very interesting. And I've really, really enjoyed – I definitely enjoyed the first 8 months. I'm starting to miss it a little bit now, but it was a very nice break, definitely.
Well, so she also plays AFL, guys.
She's, yeah.
Oh, right. I did. Yeah. Not anymore.
Did.
For a little while.
Yeah. So, you know, AWFL next year.
It's like we were talking about last week. It seems like women are a lot more keen to play multi-sports.
Yes.
Or maybe it's just because, well, I don't even know why. It's awesome.
I think because you don't get paid that much money.
Well, I don't know.
Well, up until very recently, women athletes haven't been professional, so they haven't had to do a sport year-round. So they've actually had time to do another sport, whereas a men's athlete is a full-time athlete, has no time to do anything else, which I think is part of
That's
the reason that you do see
a
lot of women cross over, especially into the AFL. There's been so many different athletes moving into the AFL space, which is really good.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, with the World Cup coming up for the men's cricket, Warner and Smith are now allowed to come back into the team.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Do you think they should come straight back in? Do you think they should work their way back in? What do you think?
I think if form permits, then they should come back in. I think they've done their time. Is the time that they've had actually playing now since their ban's finished and the cricket they've been playing, is that enough to justify a World Cup spot? That's the question that the selectors need to answer. But I think it should be based on form and how they're going.
I feel like someone like Smith doesn't really need to prove himself. Like, yeah, sure, form's a thing, and I'm sure he's been batting and practicing it all during the time, but I feel like his skill alone, just his past record, should just get him straight back in. Warner, I'm just not sure about, because he's up and down. He's a little bit flaky here and there. But I reckon...
And there's that whole thing about the openers. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but Finch and Khawaja have been doing so well together.
Mm.
Warner doesn't really fit back in, but... Does he?
Yeah,
and if
Khawaja
he does,
should be
where
first
who
pick.
Goes?
Yeah. Khawaja should be straight in there again, because he's been nailing it.
So you drop Finch, or do you move Finch to three?
Maybe not. You see, maybe not Warner straight away. That's what I mean.
Yeah, it's tough.
Take him over, but maybe not straight in.
T's having a wonderful time. So T.
I'm still here. I'm still here. Yeah.
How was your sporting week?
Thanks for letting me go first.
That's okay.
What do you mean? Did you do nothing?
No. Don't knows what I did.
Oh, yes. You played a bit of sport.
Might have seen me play a bit of sport.
Oh, yeah. Last weekend.
Might have come
in. Why were you all so coy about it? What happened?
Well, because you're about to find out why.
Okay. Well, if... Yeah.
No, we don't have to. We don't have to do this.
We don't have to, but we will. For those who listened last week, we were talking to T and she said that she's playing your first game of AFL back from how long? How long have you not played for?
Oh, no. I played last year. It was just a fifth of the season. So, you know, 6 months, maybe?
Okay.
August, 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry for that big... Oh, so that doesn't explain how I played?
No. You played very well. Okay, so that's the thing. So we talked about going down to T's game as a joke and, like, doing an interview with her.
Yeah.
Then I get off the field and I turn around and there's Joel.
There I was.
You didn't know.
Creeping in there. And I've gone, oh, my God, that's so bad.
Some creepy guy kind of like with a phone wanting an interview.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it.
Had his head on, like, oh, in the bushes. With his binoculars. This is why I think he's good for that role.
Okay, anyway. So we will cross to me in the past now.
No!
Do it!
Are you there, Joel?
Yes, thank you very much, me. Well, I'm here today at T's first AFL game of the season. As I said, I would do yesterday or last week for you guys, but yesterday for me. I got here right on kickoff, so I'm not entirely sure who's who yet, but I'll work it out and I'll get back to you. Okay, T has been spotted. Her team is the red and white team, and they are playing the red and black team. It's going to be very confusing. T, turn around so I can see. Oh, there you go, number 94. I'm not sure if you guys can hear this, but there are so many birds on this field in the trees. They are doing my head. It's currently the second quarter here, and I've found the scoreboard, but I can only see half of it. So one team is on 9. I'll keep you updated.
Not our team.
Ooh, someone scored. And it's not T's team. Oh my god. So I just saw a little greyhound puppy and it was wearing a jersey. Just like T's jersey. A little red and white jersey. It was so cute. Well, that's the full time siren. Not 100% sure of what the score is, but T's team, I can tell you, did come in a very close second. I'm here with T from the Breakaways, aka number 94. And
that's not my actual number, normally.
Doesn't matter, that's what you got in your back.
Cool.
Tough game out there today. Can you explain to me quantum mechanics?
So basically, I believe the father of quantum mechanics was Stephen Hawking.
I saw you take a couple of marks out there today.
I did, yeah.
Do you feel like you were the best player on the field?
Definitely not. No, my fitness let me down. I haven't had a good pre-season considering I was not in Sydney.
But there are, you can have fitness in other cities.
Yeah.
What did the coach say full time?
Look, she said we've done really well. 80% of the team were rookies.
Stop laughing. This is a serious interview.
80% of the team were rookies. So first hit out, that's pretty good actually. Pretty good, pretty impressive.
Okay, you're laughing too much.
Okay. You're laughing too much.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Okay. That's it.
Okay, cool.
Over and out. Well, that's it from me at T's first game of football. There's bloody birds. Thank you for tuning in, and back to you in the studio. I've always wanted to say that.
Oh, there you go. Our roving reporter, Joel.
That's me.
Oh, my God.
That was amazing. What an interview.
How Kiwi do I sound? Oh, my God.
That's how yours sound, T.
Oh, I didn't realise. Okay, cool. Okay, all right. That was real. Okay.
So, yeah, I can go down and do any game.
This is awesome. Like, this is a thing now.
Yeah.
You just go pick someone off the field, anyone, and just, like, do an interview with them.
Yeah.
Just turn up at random games. Don't even know what the sports are. Just turn up and start interviewing.
Happy to do that.
This could be quite good. I like it.
So there you go. Now that we're talking about AFL... last week, one of the teams, the Sydney team, not the GWS, they finally got their first win of the season, beating Carlton, which now means the Blues and North Melbourne are the only teams to not win a game this season. The Demons were the same until they beat the Swans last night.
Now, the Swans are going pretty bad.
Like, they are. One win from four.
Yeah.
Not great.
And I see Swans fans who have been so used to winning all the time are now just like abandoning their team. Like, already, I'm like, come
really?
On. Like, but why are we so fickle with, like, supporting our teams? I read an article today about how, like, the Western Sydney Wanderers used to get, like, massive crowds. All of a sudden, they're not winning and people just,
that's right,
just disappear from their games.
Because you guys don't know, in this country, you don't know how to lose.
Is that it?
You don't know how to lose. It's not an option. What I love about it is the attitude is we do win, but the brutality of it is that you don't keep with your fans.
Yeah, it is a problem. I don't know how you do it. How do you keep fans coming?
See, New Zealand knows how to lose.
Except in rugby.
Except for rugby.
Yeah.
And that's a whole other issue. When they got knocked out fourth in 2007 Rugby World Cup, the front page was just black. There was no words.
Really?
It was just black.
Wow. That's amazing. Wow.
And this is not so funny, but domestic violence goes up hugely when the All Blacks lose.
Oh, it's true. It's the same in Origin as well.
Is it? Yeah. So, but yes, it's that's the only time we don't know how to lose. Cricket, we're really good at losing there. It's awesome at it.
No, New Zealand are improving.
They are.
You're getting a lot better.
Yeah, definitely.
But it doesn't. The amount of money they get paid, you would be surprised. Pays to be a loser.
Brisbane and Geelong have both started the season with 3 from 3. And last year's grand final rematch played as well. West Coast defeated the Pies 98-76.
Mm-hmm.
The end of AFL there. Thank you very much.
What's your favourite sport apart from cricket?
Cool. I'm an NRL girl.
Yes.
Oh,
who do you follow?
The Dragons.
I'll just put the kettle on.
No, because that is a fantastic segue. We're going to talk about NRL now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we can talk about the Dragons because I wanted to talk about last week there was 3 golden points in a single round, which I don't know. Has that ever happened before?
I reckon it has, but not for a long time.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare.
Very, very rare. But one of those games was the Knights and Dragons. The other two games were absolute bludgers. But Knights and Dragons was actually a really good game. And it begs the question, because they both played quite well, and then it gets into golden point, it gets very sloppy. Should we have golden point? Should it just be a draw? Or should it be, you know,
first try? You know, not go for a field goal.
Let's ask someone who had to go through it last
week. Well, this week I'm a really big fan of Golden Point. But I think like most people, if your team loses in Golden Point, it's the worst idea ever.
Yeah.
Why do we do Golden Point? I'd agree that last week's game with the Dragons, the Golden Point portion of it was some terrible football.
So sorry, was that just you, Golden Point? I'm sorry, this is terrible for me. It's just for a field goal.
Yes. So No. But that's what everyone goes for.
Because it's the easiest way to get the point is the field goal.
Yeah, so that's, it should be the next try. Sorry, carry
on. It should be try, maybe, instead. Everyone will go for the try instead of the golden goal.
Yeah, and that's good footy.
And I always feel like it determines, that rule will be determined by how many golden point games there were. So for some reason we got like 50 golden point games this year, all of a sudden they'd want to change the rule.
Yeah.
But because it only really happens once every few weeks.
Yeah.
It's probably people just like, whatever, they don't really care.
But why did they change the rule in the first place to... introduce it,
Just for ratings, for excitement levels.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And don't get me wrong, it can be very exciting.
Yeah.
Except when your team's in it.
So I'm an Eels fan. You've picked up Corey Norman this season, who has happened to kick two golden point field goals this season.
No, the first one was the first week it was golden point against Brisbane?
We've had two golden point
And they'll both kick by Corey Norman.
Okay, there you go.
What do you think of him? Now.
Give him back.
Well, when Widdop was still in the team, I thought that Norman probably should have been the one sitting on the bench and get Dufty back into the team. But now with Widdop injured, more than happy for him to stay.
He's stepping up too a bit. He's playing a bit better now that Widdop's gone. Oh, whose phone's that? Oh, the host's phone.
Because you couldn't use the clock on the dial.
It's my alarm.
Rookie error.
Sorry.
It's your alarm for what? To finish?
No. So I can keep going.
Okay.
We'll talk off air.
Continue on.
It's good to... What are you doing?
Nothing. Keep talking. I'm making sure it's off.
My Eels are going well. I'm very happy. We're now 3-1, which is... We've
amazing.
Won more games than we did the whole of last season, I think. but we got the Raiders on Sunday, who we haven't beaten, I think it was since 2001 in Canberra.
Oh, okay.
Or something ridiculous like that.
Wow. Were they playing?
In Canberra.
Oh, right.
In Canberra. I was going to go down, but...
Yeah.
What do you think the difference has been in the Eels?
Can I say no Hayne?
You sure can.
Yes, you can.
Look, I used to love Jarryd Hayne back in the day, but last year he was there and he just... I don't know. The attitude was wrong. The team's attitude was wrong. We actually lost Norman and Hayne, and I feel like the attitude of the team has been a lot better since they've left. And
young players,
same
right?
coach, similar players, okay. but we just got some beliefs, got some confidence.
Yep.
And now we're such a big confidence team. You win a couple of games, and all the players just start throwing it around, and having a bit of fun, and that's all we need.
So maybe they just need a good therapist out there.
Yeah, maybe. Isn't that sports therapy? That's like a big thing, right?
I think most teams just need a therapist. 100%.
Did the Australian cricket team have a sports therapist?
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
yeah, totally.
You should offer your services just to give them hugs and pats on the back.
I'll do that. Like pats on the bum? Oh, good.
Yeah, that's all they need.
I'll pay me. I don't know if they're paid. I'll give up for nothing.
I know you will.
So you mentioned you're playing the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders have won 3 from the opening 4 rounds, which they haven't done since 2005. So
yeah.
They're on the way
up.
Only
big records this year. And teams are just like, it's upside down the ladder. Like what
it's
you
about
sort of
time,
used to.
Though. It is about time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one team that isn't sort of is the Gold Coast.
We're playing right now.
Great
in
losses.
Fact.
They are playing right now.
I won't say the score because that would be cheating.
That's right.
But spoilers and that. But
he's going to check anyway.
Let's just say they're going well.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Where are they playing?
They are actually officially off to their worst start in their 13-year history of the club.
Ouch.
There you go.
They're playing the Panthers.
There you go. Ooh. They are playing the Panthers. Well done. Hey, did you want to talk NFL very quickly or rugby?
Oh, look, quickly. Two big news stories this week.
Yes.
Firstly, Valentine Holmes has been picked up by the Jets in sort of like an international player program
thing. Yeah, but he's not eligible to play until next year, so it's still a...
It's very, very, very tiny chance he could get put into the full-time squad for 2019, but they've just signed someone else. Yeah. And look, he's getting paid $180,000 to play in this like squad,
amazing.
Whereas he's turned away like a $5 million contract from the rugby league. So...
Is the payoff bigger later on?
Sure. If you become like a first squad player, he'd outstrip the money here easily. But the chances of that are really small. So, look, I reckon you'll be back in probably NRL next season.
But he going to come back in and do what Hayne did? It'd be a completely different...
Yeah, could be. Because like, that's right. It's a completely different fitness you've got to do. They want you to bulk up heaps over there, and you lose that sort of speed. Mm-hmm. Well, not they get the speed, but it's like a different. I don't know. It's really different. I don't know how it works.
Well, they've only got to do it for about 5 seconds. And they get a break.
Exactly.
A break.
So. Yeah, about 2 hour break in between.
And the other big news?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to say it, man. I don't want to really give it airtime. Ezra Falel?
That's the thing. Yeah. This show, we never really go into these sort of places because we like to ignore it or not ignore
keep
it, but
it light.
Yeah, we like to keep this show a bit lighter. But Israel Folau,
will they actually sack him though? That's the question. They said they're intending to sack him.
I thought he was officially sacked.
I thought he's sacked.
He just had to like go in and
because he hasn't replied. Like they've asked for a response from him.
He was in today,
and he went in.
He was in today. Yeah.
So does that mean he's officially gone, or are they just still?
Well, nothing's been announced yet that I'm aware of. But he was in there today.
All I can say is I find it highly unlikely he's going to back down. Although there's a lot of money on the line, so.
Well, I mean, it's the World Cup too. Like, so he's basically gone from the World Cup now. In fact, Rugby World Cup, which is
even if they keep him
on
board, they just won't take him.
Oh no, no. Well, I mean, if they're going to sack him, then they're sacked from rugby.
I just
altogether.
Don't. I mean, look, I'm free speech, etc., and all that jazz, and you can have your opinion, even though it's wrong. but what value does he get from doing this? And you did it once, so you got slapped on the wrist. Why on earth did you do it again? I don't understand that.
No idea. People are saying, oh, he just wants to leave and he's going to go play rugby in France anyway.
That's potential, but as you know, his wife is playing for the Adelaide Thunderbirds.
Yeah, really, right. Well,
okay. So he'd be leaving her behind and already that's living apart anyway. So I don't think she's got any intention of leaving them. So
he's only just signed a multi-million dollar contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Very recently, you'd think.
Yeah, right. So that's probably not even true. Who knows? I just don't get it.
I just don't see why he decided to do it.
So he's either going to be really recalcitrant and apologetic, but which I don't see him doing, or he's gone.
He's very, very religious.
And Rugby League has said they're not going to have him. So
yeah, I was surprised by that. Yep. I was really shocked.
Which is great. I mean, Parramatta tried to get him like 5 years ago.
But don't forget, he also had a stint with the AFL Giants. The Giants.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And failed miserably.
Yeah, horrendous. Yeah. Horrendous. Oh, but anyway, you know.
He could be driving trucks like that other guy, Ben Barber.
Yes, he could be.
Or selling drugs like the other ones.
Ben Barber. Anyway. Just a friendly reminder that it does actually say in the Bible, you cannot have tattoos. And he's got a few tattoos.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Enjoy that sunshine. Okay, here we go. I had a game, but I had to change it last minute because Gabby called in sick.
Okay. We should have done it anyway.
Nah, it wouldn't work.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Gab. She got some wisdom teeth taken out today. So I hope she's
They're taken out today.
I guess so. Yeah.
Oh, mate.
We haven't heard from her.
She should never have tried to come in then. That was crazy. It's pretty much, that's how you talk. And then, anyway. What was she thinking?
How long have we got for this game, John?
Very short amount of time, 2 minutes. Okay, here we go. So I'll ask a few questions. Here we go.
Just call in the answers here.
Okay.
Don't explain the rules to anyone. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it's a game. I mean, you just answer questions. I'll give you a couple of multiple choice to start. Track and field star Carl Lewis won how many gold medals at the 1984 Olympic Games? Was it 2, 3, 4, or 8?
8.
8? How? Oh, because he did. No, it is before.
Wasn't in that many.
No.
That's my guess. You guys guessed too.
Unless he did triple jump. Well, it should be 100, 200, and relay.
Yeah.
But he might have also been a triple jump or a long jumper.
He did do long jump, yes.
Yeah.
He
won so long what are you jump. Going with?
I went with 4.
Claire?
I can't remember the other options. What were the
three.
Other options? 3.
2, 3, 4,
let's go
and
with
8.
3.
Oh, see, there's too many different. So this is for T. That's for you, Claire.
I never get one right. I got one right.
Next.
I don't want to ask that one. Oh, it's a cricket one. I will ask it. Which was the first non-test playing country to beat India in an international match? Was it Canada, Sri Lanka, Zimbabwe, or East Africa?
Zimbabwe. I think it's Kenya.
Well, Kenya's not an option.
Canada.
But that's good.
I'll go for Canada.
Did I say Zimbabwe?
Yeah. And you're all wrong. Oh. It was Sri Lanka.
What was that?
Before they were a
test
playing country.
Yeah, okay.
Trick question.
Was it? Man?
Hey, which sport is played on the largest pitch? I don't have any.
Just multiple which choice. Sport?
Which sport? Think of the largest pitch.
Did we play golf?
Length?
Yeah, I think
width?
So.
Oh, golf. That's a good one.
Oh, golf is a. Damn it. Is that really? It's not a pitch, though, is it? It's not a pitch.
But by technical terms.
It's two teams that play each other.
Maybe NFL, if it's not AFL.
Is it like lacrosse or something weird?
No. Well, AFL and cricket would be the same.
Kind of
weird. Yeah.
It's polo.
Oh,
polo. Horses. As in horse polo. Horse. Oh. As in horse polo.
Not the other sort of polo. Water polo. It's the other one. Yeah.
Look, we're completely out of time. So, all right, we'll have to call it a day
on
there.
Horse polo.
Claire, thank you so much for coming in and joining us.
Thank you, Claire. Problem.
We might have to get you in again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anytime.
She actually knows some stuff.
I know. That's what I mean. Like, it's so weird. Well,
I
we're
made
not
it
used
a little
to
bit
it.
Too serious.
That was great. Thank you so much. And that's it. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
See ya.
We actually have 10 seconds left.
Oh.
Say bye again.
Bye.
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 Bye. Keep saying goodbye.
Bye.
Hello.
It's Patrick.
And also Ruby.
And we're coming to you with It's a Gay Area to SCR 107.3 from the past.
From the past.
So, yeah.
If we fast track to now, which is Friday, well, today it's Monday for us, but when you're listening, it will be Friday and I will be in Melbourne. So.
What will you be doing in Melbourne?
It's confidential. No, it's not. My partner is going to be on Millionaire Hot Seat. And it's very funny because they're not actually telling us when it's going to air. So I guess we just have to keep watching Millionaire Hot Seat for the rest of the time.
Don't
that
plug
airing.
That show.
Sorry, Billionaire Hot Pot. the show where everyone makes a hot pot filled with gold.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, I am dead.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, I am dead and I'm coming for you as a ghost.
To find my murderer, follow these clues coming up in the show.
We will be saying certain words and you just have to pinpoint them out. We're not going to tell you which words they are, but pinpoint certain words and see what kind of message you get. The killer is. That's the first one. Just a little hint for you.
ScoMo.
That's not one of them.
Yeah.
We just wanted to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's happening on the show today, Patrick?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
No, I joke. I do know I run this show with Ruby.
Yeah.
She is a co-runner. And we're talking about films, specifically ones with the gay.
Yeah. We're talking about the queer film industry.
Queer film industry. And we have a special guest on who is Lisa Rose, Festival Director of Queer Screen.
How very, very exciting. And Lisa was just an absolute hoot to have her in the studio.
We mean she will be an absolute hoot to have in the studio because this is present time.
This is present time and definitely not from the past.
Yeah.
See, you can't see because it's the radio, but Patrick and I are winking at each other every single time we say the present.
And I have aged greatly.
Mm,
and how many more days. Jokes can we make from the fact that this is not a live show?
This is not a live show. Well, first of all, sorry.
Whoopsie. Don't worry. We're going to force our producers to stay here in the empty room.
Yeah, you bet. They're going to come into the studio and just sit. It's going to be awesome.
I'm kidding. We're nice.
No, we're lovely. And our producers are lovely. So, yeah, we'll be talking all about film. And Lisa will be coming in because it's the present. We winked once again.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about, of course, we'll have our segment. What do we think about it, though?
What are we? I'm so sorry if I'm yelling at you.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Like to me or to them?
To our lovely listeners and also to you.
And our viewers.
Yeah, and our viewers. Yeah. They're there. Hi.
There they are. It's a window.
Yeah, there is a window in the studio. We should do a virtual tour, a Skype tour.
Yeah, 360
Tweet at us if you'd be interested in that, at 2SER.
Yeah.
At Patrick Baker Clancy or Patrick B. Clancy. Patrick B. Clancy.
Patrick Doobie Clancy.
No, it's Patrick B. Clancy. Please don't. Follow me on Twitter. I'm so lonely. Same on Instagram.
Yeah. And follow me on Bebo and maybe MySpace.
Yeah.
And any forum that talks about Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
I love that. We'll talk about that later, but I love that game. If you want an episode on Star Wars The Old Republic, because I think you can be gay in it.
You can be gay.
You can date
actually,
a cat lady.
We will, in the near future,
be
doing a topic on games, very specifically games that do involve queer themes.
Yeah, because me and Ruby are gamers.
I'm big nerd.
big nerd.
I'm big nerd.
She plays D&D.
I do. And you know what? It's fun. It's great.
It is fun. I went along one day and it was really good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So I think it's about time to go into a song.
It is. And what are we listening to, Ruby?
We are listening to probably my favorite song this week. It is Career Boy by Dorian Electra. Now, let's just smack it. Let's just smack it on.
Just whack it in.
You're listening to It's a Gay Area with Patrick and Ruby on 2SER 107.3.
Career Boy. Working one thing on my mind. A cheap office coffee. These pumping through my veins. I work for the man, yeah. But you know I love the change. I can never fight the feeling. I stay up all night. Work until hot after hours. Till I see the sunlight. Stuck up in the office tower. I got that one track mind. Oh yeah. Even after I get what I want, I can see, baby, baby, that it's lonely at the time. Yeah. Career boy, nothing is ever gonna make me stop. Business and pleasure, I like to mix the two.
That was Dorian Electra with It's a Gay Area. You're here on Career Boy on 2SER 107.3.
And I'm Patrick and this is Ruby.
Yeah.
So that was Career Boy by Dorian Electra. And you are listening to It's a Gay Area with Patrick and Ruby.
2SER 107.3. But we have our special guest in the studio with us now. It's Lisa Rose, the Festival Director of Queer Screen. Amazing talent. So fantastical.
Really good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, Lisa.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. All right. First question right off the bat. What has been your personal experience working in the queer film industry?
Oh, wow. That's a big question to start off with.
It's always best.
Well, basically, I started volunteering with Queer Screen in 2012. Because I had had a 10-year relationship ended and I needed to find something to do with all of that time. So volunteering for a queer organisation was an excellent decision. I made a whole bunch of new friends. I made had lots of new skills and lots of fun and all that sort of jazz. And then I joined the board and I was on that for about 5 or 6 years. And then I was dedicating probably anywhere between, depending on the time of the year, 10 to 30 hours a week with Queer Screen, and I loved it. And then when the job of festival director came up, I was like, what am I doing with my life? I'm 40. I'm working in a job that I don't care about, that just pays the bills. So why don't I change my career? So I did. And now I get to watch movies and I get paid for it. Obviously, that's not the whole thing that I do, but that is a large chunk. I get to, you know, I'm a professional lesbian. It's pretty exciting.
Oh, that's the dream, isn't it?
Getting paid to be a lesbian.
Yeah.
God.
That's not porn. Hey. But, hey, each to their own.
No disrespect.
No, absolutely.
So how do you think the attitudes like towards queer film have changed over time? Or like even the time you've worked at Queer Screen?
Yeah, absolutely. There's so many more queer films being made. The standard of the films that are getting made now is higher than when I first started 6 years ago. And also when I first started going to the festival 18 years ago, the quality of the films that we show, I think, as a film are just of just a higher standard. There's also just so many more that are being made. There's so much more diversity in not only gender and sexuality, but the people of colour and ability and all that sort of stuff, which is great. However, there's also more stuff going to the mainstream, which is also fantastic as well, but the stuff that's going to the mainstream is probably a little bit lacking in diversity. Mm-hmm. So that's why festivals like ours are so incredibly important still, to be able to show the whole sort of gamut of the LGBTIQ experience.
And in terms of diversity, I did see a really fun tweet the other day, because that's all I do, I'll just look at tweets. And it was a tweet about the sort of film selection, the queer film selection on Netflix. It was just like, I love how Netflix thinks that 648 gay male films and 7 lesbian films make a queer section.
Yes, I read about that this morning, actually.
So what is, like, I know that in recent years you've been trying to get equal films made by women and men on the sort of program at Queer Screen. Yeah. So how's that going?
It's going really well. So we have two festivals a year. We have Queer Screen's Mardi Gras Film Festival, which will have its 26th festival in February. And then we have a Queer Screen Film Fest, which is our smaller festival, and it's its 6th rendition happening in September. And I've actually managed to get 55% of the program. Well, there's 29 films, and 55% of the program is directed or co-directed by women.
Hell yeah.
Which is, I'm super excited about. And it wasn't too difficult to make that happen, but it also was helped by the size of the festival. For Mardi Gras, when we have 70 sessions, it will be more of a challenge to get parity or more than parity for films by women or diverse people. Just because of the fact that there's not as many films being made. In the short film category, there's just so many films that are getting made by women now. The lesbian shorts, which are on Sunday, are currently selling more than the gay male shorts, which I'm super excited about. And it's probably my favourite shorts package I've ever programmed. It's so good. I highly recommend it.
I'd love if someone just tuned in and didn't think we were talking about queer films at all and just thought we were talking about shorts, very specifically male and female shorts.
As in the ones that we wear?
The ones that we wear.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you think, well, on the topic of how there isn't much diversity in the more mainstream stuff, do you think we'll ever get to a point where films involving LGBTQI plus people and themes will be kind of looked at the same as any other film, like in the near future, hopefully?
That's a good question. Like, I mean, obviously it is changing, and there's quite a few. So last year, the last probably year and a bit, there's been quite a few sort of gay male films that have broken through to the mainstream. And there's a couple more that are doing that this year, but there's also a few lesbian films that are coming to the mainstream, like We obviously had Disobedience and The Miseducation of Cameron Post, which have both gotten both getting released here. And there's a couple of lesbian films that have played at have just been announced to be playing at Toronto, the Toronto International Film Festival, and they will probably get cinematic release here as well. So there definitely are more, and there's definitely going to be more, but we've got a long way to go. Yeah. Because they're still, unlike a Moonlight, obviously, which won the Oscar, like that was a bit of an anomaly because it was about a person of colour. Like, all of these films are not. They're all about cisgender white people generally.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of cisgender white people.
Yes.
My dear co-host here, Ruby, coined a term last week of Scarlett Johanssoning.
Yeah.
When Scarlett Johansson gets cast to play someone she should not be playing.
Yes.
So there has been quite a bit of a hubbub around the use of straight and or cisgender actors being put in LGBTQI plus roles, such as Scarlett Johansson. I believe it was Dante Tex-Gil from
Tex's Life. Yeah. For Robin Tug.
Yeah. So, how do you think, like, what's your opinion on situations like that when that happens?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I talk to a lot of people in the trans community, and some people don't care. Some people it's really important. We think it's really important. We do play films where cisgender actors are playing trans roles, but we try and balance it. Mm-hmm. And we always find that if there's a trans actor playing a trans role, it's just so much more authentic. A film won our audience award a few years ago. I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix. It's called Boy Meets Girl, and it showed Michelle Hendley. And just having her as a trans actress playing a trans role was just, it was so much more authentic. Yeah. And it's like, it's a rom-com. I've never seen a trans rom-com before. When I saw that film. But I think one of the things for me, the biggest thing is with the Scarlett Johansson thing, and the thing that people were getting, people who don't understand, is the fact that if they weren't going to cast a trans actor, they needed to cast a man, because it's it's that thing of people,
it still pushes the whole thing that, like, oh, trans people are just dressing up as the
exactly
opposite gender.
Exactly. So it's that thing of, like, if you at least can't find a trans actor to play a trans role, at least find the right gender.
Yeah, not to me, like, this one got me, and it's not so much connected with transness, but of course also is, because that whole situation is very ingrained in transness.
Yeah.
The fact that not only did they get a cisgendered woman, they got a thin cisgendered woman to play a fat trans man.
Yeah, and it's like, just so, it was so wrong.
What, were they going to put her in a fat suit or something? That would be even worse. Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense in that situation. I do understand other situations, but that one, it just does not make any sense.
And then
to me,
she defended it. I can't remember the word she used, really.
It's like, hit up every other person that did it. And it's like, I know, everyone else was angry about it.
Exactly. And she, you know, she was quoting, like, people who, you know, society has moved on from that time. And, I mean, Felicity Huffman obviously was probably the one that people didn't get as angry about, because they actually cast, like, she was a cisgender woman playing a trans woman.
Yeah.
So it's not the thing where they're getting the gender wrong.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Actually, quite connected to that, in terms of just, like, people in the film industry in general, do you think there are obvious differences between a queer film made by a straight director and a queer film made by queer people?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are obviously exceptions to the rule. Yeah. I think Todd Haynes did a fantastic job with Carol, for instance. But I think particularly with lesbian films in general, I think that when you have a heterosexual man direct a lesbian film, it can be a bit of a
shit show.
I mean, sometimes they're okay. The sex scenes can be
gratuitous.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's the whole blue is the warmest colour situation where many a queer woman hate the sex scenes. I do know some queer women who liked those sex scenes. I was not one of them. I sat there with my straight female best friend watching it, and I was just like, this is really awkward. I swear we don't do that. But anyway, obviously, The Miseducation of Cameron Post is made by a queer woman in Desiree Akhavan. And I don't know if you've seen it, but the sex scenes in that felt so ridiculously authentic. Like, it wasn't, it was so clearly shot by a queer female as opposed to a queer, like, they weren't even really naked. Like, it was just fumbly and stupid, like teenage sex is. And it was hot at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, I can imagine that when a straight male director, for example, directs a queer female film, it could get sort of fetishized.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the director being like, this is what lesbians do.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
From all of the lesbian films I've seen, all of them being porn, this is definitely what lesbian ladies do. Put it in, Johnny. Yeah. Seems like that's the kind of vibe.
Yeah.
So let's
put it in, Johnny.
Let's move right to our very last question. What is your favourite LGBTQI plus focused film?
Oh, good Lord.
Right.
I do have to watch them for a living, you know. It's very hard to choose a favourite.
Be like a bad parent. Choose your favourite.
I'm thinking too. I can't think of mine.
Look, there's too many to name.
I love Big Eden.
That is a dorky film.
It's
but
so dorky.
It is really dorky, but it is good. I think that's on Netflix. I'm a big fan of, because I have to watch so much queer cinema, I really am a big fan of films where it's got absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the person is queer. Like, that is, it's just that they chose to make this character queer. And that, our opening night film at Queer Screen Film Fest called And Breathe Normally is very much like that. The two lead characters are both queer, but the film really has nothing to do with that. There's a slight element for the refugee about that, but really it's not. And I think it's a beautiful film. It won at Sundance. And then there's another film that we're showing called Life in the Doghouse, which is about two older gay men who run a dog rescue. And they've rescued over 10,000 dogs. They have like up to 70 dogs living in their house at a time. So it's not about the fact that they're gay, but it's just this ridiculously positive, amazing couple who are like in their old, I think they're in the late 60s, early 70s. And there's just like, there's adorable dogs everywhere. And I have now adopted, well, not adopted, I'm fostering a rescue dog because I've watched that film.
Oh.
So come on down, watch it.
Queer Screen saves dogs' lives.
Yeah.
Fact.
Absolutely. Fact. We do.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Lisa. It's
my absolute
fantastic.
Pleasure.
And that was Lisa Rose, Festival Director at Queer Screen.
So check out all their stuff. Go along. Go see some films.
Yeah, you can see their stuff on their website, which I'm pretty sure is just queerscreen.com.au.
Yeah, and just get around it. I say that after every interview. I'm just like, get around it. Don't miss it.
Don't just get around it.
Yeah, but
I think it's time for a bit of a special thing.
What do we think about it?
God, what do we think about it, though?
I love gay movies.
I love a good gay movie. I actually, I looked on the Queer Screen website and they do a thing where it's like grants or something like that that they do each year for people who want to make queer films,
mm-hmm.
Which I'm actually interested in doing because I had an idea not too long ago, which is essentially a bit of a rom-com set at a high school about a young girl who's coming to terms with her lesbianism. She's desperately, and like everyone at her school knows that she is a lesbian. And she's got a big old crush on the popular girl at school whose name is Eleanor. And this literally came from me listening to the song Eleanor by the Turtles on repeat. So I'd want the soundtrack to purely be like old love song, like Eleanor by the Turtles, the Beach Boys, stuff like that. And so that's a really cool thing. If you are a queer filmmaker or you're interested in making queer films, definitely go check that out as well. I think that's super important.
And my film that we'll be releasing concurrently with Ruby's is it's just a doco on me exploring my passion for model building.
What kind of model building? Gundam?
Yes.
But like hot, sexy Gundam.
Hot, sexy Gundam.
So think Gundam robots, but just super hot and sexy.
Yeah. But like I'm a real lurker on the LGBTI section on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's there in documentaries where you can find me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff. My personal favourite, which I didn't get to say at the end of the interview because I was rudely over-talked by Ruby. I'm kidding. I love her.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's Henry Gamble's birthday party.
Yeah, I heard about that.
I love it. And I love the main actor.
In love?
Yep. Hi, Cole. Cole Doman.
Cole, I love you.
Cole, I love you.
I'm a big fan of, we actually talked about it, only the slightest bit. I just like name dropped it. But there's a movie I really like called Big Eden, which came out in 2001. And it's a gay movie, but it's a bit different. To, you know,
she's not like other gay movies.
it's a bit different in the sense that, like, a lot of the mainstream queer films are, I'm sorry, a lot of the, I've just got Patrick, like, putting on the cough buttons so he can drink his hot tea. We've got, so the movie is, instead of being about young, hot gay men, falling in love, it's a story of an older gay man moving back to his hometown after years of not being there anymore to take care of his sick dad or sick granddad, and also finding that his childhood best friend and also his unrequited love, unrequited crush, has also moved back after a divorce. But is it unrequited? You'll just have to watch the movie.
Oh, and the unrequited crush is a man.
Is a man!
Thus being gay.
And there might be another unrequited crush in there. And also all of this small town who is mostly old people are just all for it and cheering them on the whole time.
Gays.
It's really, really, really beautiful.
Yeah. And building upon the interview that we did have with Lisa, not a lot of lesbians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not a ton.
You've got a lot of air quote
that
lesbian
Ruby Rose
films.
Very overworked.
Yeah. The only lesbian in Hollywood, Ruby Rose. You've got lesbian films not being made by lesbians that just not exactly a good example of the lesbian experience.
Yeah,
I would assume.
Two girls, one cup.
Oh, shut up. I hate that you looked directly in the eyes of me when you said that. It really just burns me to my core. I hate it. And on that note, I think we have to go.
We have to go?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We had a big long ass interview.
We did. It was a solid 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, by the way, thank you so much to Lisa.
Oh, yeah. Lisa was fantastic.
Amazing. 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 So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you to our producers for producing. And coming up next is a bit of hardcore classic.
With Danny. Guys, we're sorry we're not going to be there this week to just, like,
dance
in the studio next to you. But just imagine we're in your studio. We're dancing on your hearts.
Yeah, we're dancing on the panel. Just squishing it. Just stomping our big-ass feet on the panel and having a dance.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And we tried so hard to... this is just behind the scenes, some tea for yous. Yous. We tried so hard to find a song, and this is verbatim from me. I'm sure there's a gay song about movies.
And we really did try.
We searched gay songs about movies. Yeah. We couldn't find one, so we just thought, fuck it, let's just play Raining Men. It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. It's great.
So, and that's what the Hank it be. It's Raining Men by the Weather Girls. You've been listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3 with me, Ruby.
And me, Patrick. Be careful when you go outside because it might be raining large men.
Better listen.
Get ready, or you're lost.
it's raining.